We're up to the Kuf Chav Ches Amid Aleph on top of the page. So the Mishnah told us that certain things you're allowed to move around if they're not muktzah, there's a chiddush in each lot. And now we're telling you the following things you're not allowed to move because they are muktzah, they're not edible. For example, Aval, the Mishnah says, Lo yasa tevel, things, you know, tvua, which you haven't yet given the grains, you haven't given the mice and the trumas, since you cannot eat it, it's muktzah. So it's going to pshuta, obviously. Lo yitzricha, no, we need it. B'tevel tovel midrabanan. In a case where the tevel is only from the rabbanan, for example, shezarei ba'otzitz, you planted it in a pot, she'en lokot, has no puncture, so it's not getting any nourishment from the ground. Somehow Torah, there's no obligation of truma meiser. So therefore, we would have thought that since Mahatira, it's considered food, it should be all right. Says the Gemara, no, since with Rabban you cannot eat it, it is mukti, not allowed to move it around. The next case of the Mishnah is Veloi Maiserishin. That if you, let's say, gave Maiserishin, and you did not take the Truma from that. Says the Gemara, pshit, if you didn't take the Truma, then it's obviously nobody can eat it. Loi Tzicha Shigdimu Bekeri. Which what happened was that you went to the pile shenotl memena ma'isev alein notl memena truma gedayla. What you did was not last time we learned while it was growing the levy jumped in ahead. Here's something after it was already cut and everything, the levy jumped in ahead, took his ma'isev before he gave truma. So we would have thought ma'ala tema kedamla papa labaya. Now papa asked the question to abaya, why should that be any different than if the levy took it while it was growing? And therefore, if it's piled up, the same thing. If he took his ma'aser first, it shouldn't be any more truma. K'mashalon k'dashani l'abaya. Comes to teach you like Abaya answered that no, since once there's a chiv of truma on it, it was piled up and it was obligated to give truma. If the levy jumps in and takes his ma'aser first, there's still an obligation to give truma. You're not allowed to eat it without that original truma. The next case was v'loyes ma'aser sheni. The same thing. Your ma'aser, the tithe that you have to bring the first, second, fourth, fifth year to the shalayim. Our hegdish, or you donated, you consecrated, shleiv, if you didn't redeem it. Obviously, if you didn't redeem it, it doesn't belong to you. It's muktzah, it belongs to hegdish. Pshita, lo yinot. See, when needed, the niftu, you did redeem it, but the lo niftu kilchos, you didn't do correctly. For example, and we had this a few times already, shepode agabe asimun, you were, let's say, redeemed it on coins and have no form on it. No images. The Rachman Amar Torah says, and therefore it's much harder to use that kind of money. Vitzarta hakese biyot. It says in the passage you should bundle the money in your hand. Use the word vitzarta. Dover sheyesh by tzura. Only coins that have actually an image on them. Hegdish. Then it says, what about hegdish? Or in other cases, shechilu agabekarki. You redeemed it not with money, but you used property. So you would have thought that it's a valid redemption. Hakachmon Amar Torah says, v'nosan hakese v'kamla. You give the money, then it becomes yours. It has to be like money and not property. Tracy already comments, there's no such pasuk. It's a mixture of two pasuk. In one pasuk, there's nothing like kesev, the pasuk of kamlai. And we compare it to kesev, Tracy says, through a klal prat to klal. Just like kesev is portable, money is portable, only things that are portable, not property. Then the Mishnah says, also, nor can you use a luf. Luf is some kind of a legume, which is not even suitable for an animal. You cannot move it around. Or mustard. Torah we learned metal cleanes achotzov, and some of the words here I'm not sure what they are. Some of the herbs we're going to learn here or growth. Says it metal cleanes achotzov. Rashi says that chotzov is a kind of a grass that grows vertical, straight, and this is what Yeshua used to differentiate between one boundary and the other boundary. Its roots don't spread at all. Why could you move that? Because that food is fodder for deers. An animal fodder is also good. It's not muktzah. It's a chardul mustard. It's food for doves. You can also move around broken fragments of glass because it is fodder for whom? For ostriches that seem to eat glass. So if you're following this thing here, that every single item, if some animal eats it, that's good enough. If so, chavilas, motors, bundles of vines, you talkly should also be able to move it. Mipneishu, Michael, appealing elephants eat it. But the Rashbag, Rashim and Gamil says there's a difference between the ostrich and elephant. The Emiya is ostriches when it comes to broken glass, shchichi. They're common, they're around the place. Peeling, how many people own elephants? Le shchichi, you don't have an elephant. It's not around the place. And therefore, the vines are not fodder. Because the animal, the elephants, don't hang around the civilization. Omer Abaya, in urban places. Omer Abaya, my main makes a comment, even when it comes to ostriches, is when do we say you're allowed to move that is only by broken glass, but easily, namas, you actually own an ostrich. I don't understand. If you have to own an ostrich, if you own an elephant, it also should be permissible. El dekom le amostash mag. Amostan asash mag. Chavil le zmod is italti. Should be able to move the vine of nation with Michael Pilon as food for elephants. Blechayda he easily Pilon the mile. If he taka owns an elephant, why shouldn't he move? It's obviously he doesn't own an elephant, nor does he own an ostrich. But because ostrich are available, they're prevalent, therefore you're allowed to move broken glasses. But glass. But when it comes to what do you call it, the food for an elephant, since the people don't generally have elephants, you know, the vines, it's no good. So I don't agree with you that you have to actually have the ostrich. As long as it's suitable for an ostrich, and since it's prevalent, it's good enough. So Rabbi Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, and Rab Shimon, and Rab Yishmol, and Rab Akiva, Kula Svidl, they all hold that Kol Yisro b'nei Melachimim. They all hold that Yidden are generally aristocracy, and even if they're poor, we still have to treat them like aristocracy. We had a few cases in the past like that. Gemara will refer to it now. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, Rab Shimon ben Gamliel is the first case. Hada Amram, this is what we just said. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel says that ostriches are available even though you don't have one. Since rich people have it, it's as if you have it as well. Rab Shimon, what's a Shimon? It's not. We learned regarding putting something, you know, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do things, which is quite clear that it's doing it for medicine purposes, but if it's not, you're allowed to. So we talked about rose oil, shemen, v'etnam, b'nei melochim, when it comes to aristocracy, sochin, agabi, makasein, they may put on their wounds on Shabbos, shemen, v'etet, rose oil, because they do that even during the week. Shekein darkon, shebei melochim, lochre b'chol. But even during the week, they pour on etnam, you know, just to glisten their skin. So therefore, on Shabbos, it doesn't appear that it's for medicine. But only those people, aristocrats. Comes along Rav Shimon and says, no, Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim heim. All Jewish people have to be treated like aristocrats. If it's good for them, it's good for us. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, what did they say? The Tanya, we learned how to show nation by elef mana. We don't have our laws of bankruptcy. There's no such thing as statute of limitations. And when, let's say, he comes to pay and he cannot pay, it's called Masadin Lebal Chayv. We work out a whole scheme of arrangement where we basically make sure that, you know, that he has sufficient enough to live on for a short time. And we also leave him the tools of trade. And we will have later in other Gemaras exactly how it works. And so on. So what happens? He owes $1,000. The lovush, and he can't pay. The lovush eats the labas kufmare, and he walks around with a kind of clothes and a coat or whatever, a fur coat, something worth a fortune. So according to the Tanakhama, mafshitin oisa, we force him to remove that coat. Umalbishin oisa eats the ruyuloi. His current circumstance, he cannot afford a very expensive fur coat. So we give him a coat that is suitable for somebody in his status, with current status. Tana we learned Moshe Rabbi Shmuel, but Tana another brayse we learned Moshe Rabbi Akiva. Kol Yisrael ruuyin lo oisa itzla. All the Yidden are suitable for the every Yid is aristocrat, even when they don't have money, because this guy is almost a bankrupt, and he's permitted to wear such an expensive coat. Says the Gemara, Chavile kasha chavile zodim. Tana Rabbi learned Chavile kasha chavile eitzim chavile zodim imis kinen lemaychol behema metaltin oisa. That if you prepared it for animal fodder, you're allowed to move them around. But the im lav ain't metaltin loisen. All of these things that you had to set it aside first to say, I'm going to feed my animals, so therefore it's not muktzah. But if not, minastam, they use for firewood, and therefore they're automatically muktzah, unless you do something in your mind that you have to set it aside. I'm going to use this on Shabbos Yom Tov. Rashbag says, yeah. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Chavilin hadi tolin biyadech mutl talpin." He says, even if you set it aside, it depends how big it is. If you can lift it with one hand, fine. But b'shtei yadayim osl talpin, if it requires two hands to pick them up, because it's a big tircha. Remember, we don't want you to have big tirchas, even though it's food. Even though you had in mind, it should be animal fodder. If it's a big tircha, we don't allow you. Chavile siyam. Bundles of siya and Gemara will explain what these are. And Ezev bundles of hisav and kurnis, we'll soon see what they are. Hechnis and leitzim. So here we have a little braisa that seems to contradict itself. First it says hechnis and leitzim. If you set it aside to be firewood, emes tapik behen b'shabbos, you're not allowed to then use it on Shabbos l'maychol behema, because you set it aside for firewood and that's it. It's muktze. But behen b'shabbos. But l'maychol behema, if you set it aside for animal fodder, then mes tapik behen b'shabbos, you can use it on Shabbos. Then he says, "V'koytim b'yad." If you want to break it down, use your hand. Don't use an instrument, because if you cut it finely, that's a malach of teichin grinding. You're not allowed to do that. And we had before that if you cut up a beetroot, it's like teichin. And then v'oichel, and you can eat it. U'bevad shele yiktim b'kli. Don't use a special instrument to cut it up. U'moylel v'oichel. You're allowed to rub it. You know, say a pod. You're allowed to rub it between your fingers to break open the pod to get to the, you know, the seeds inside. You should not use an instrument, but then we in there's two different versions. In our version, it says harb, a lot. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rashi explains what it means by a lot. You're allowed to you're allowed to do a little bit, but not a lot. Chacham say you're not allowed to use your entire hand. You can only use the tip of your fingers to rub that pod to get to the seeds. Because if you do a lot, that's like the weekday. So the Gemara, you could eat it. Well, but don't do a lot. Likewise, ba'amisa, we'll soon see what that is. V'chein b'pigis, v'chein b'shad, and all other kinds of spices. So first of all, my amisa, what's amisa? Ninya, that's mint. Sia, Amar Rav Yehuda, sia is tzasri. Not sure what that is. Eza, we know, is hyssops. And kurnis is kurnisa shma. Kurnis is kurnisa. Says the Gemara, Vahuda Amalu Mambay, there was once a guy, a merchant selling this stuff. He said, who wants kurnisa vishtakach? We found out there was actually chashi, whatever that is. Elasiya is tzasri, not sure. Eza is abarta, which is hyssops. And kurnisa is chashi, which I'm not sure what these things are. If any of you have over there a translation, please speak up. I'm not sure what chashi is or what sasri is. Different kinds of herbs.
Spices, it doesn't even translate. Hardly translates it himself.
Okay, good. I'm a good company. Okay, thank you. Says about it further. So we're talking about basically food that's inedible is muktzah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even though it's food, since he cannot eat it. So the Gemara talks about itma. We learned basar meliach, meat that is salted, so it's edible. Mutar l'tatal b'Shabbos. You're allowed to move it around in Shabbos, but basar tafel. But what about basar tafel? Now Rashi brings two gisoyes, tafel or tapuach. But basar tafel means that it wasn't salted, you know, raw meat that wasn't salted. Or tefuach, which means the same thing. Rav Huna says mutul l'tautloi. Rav Huna says you can move it around, because he says there's no muktzah by moving it around. And Rav Chizda says osa l'tautloi. Says the Gemara, first let's understand Rav Huna. Rav Huna omar mutul l'tautloi, even though it's not edible, you're allowed to move it around. But Rav Huna was a student of Rav, and we learned before Rav that generally followed Rav Yehuda that there's muktzah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So how can he allow you to move this raw meat that wasn't salted? Rav Huna told me that Rav Ava, the Rav ki Rav Yehuda's filler. Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, the Isle muktzah. So we answered, it depends. If you want to eat it, he follows Rav Yehuda, but muktzah lachila savalak Rav Yehuda. When it comes to eating, he holds like Rav Yehuda, that you're not allowed to eat it. But why? Because it is muktzah. But when it comes to moving things around, it's not clear if we're talking about Rav or we're talking about Rav Huna here. When it comes to moving around, moving the meat, he said you're allowed to. He's make like Rav Shimon to a lesser degree. Rav Chizda, now I'm going to analyze Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda says also because it's not edible, you're not allowed to move it. But Rav Yitzchak Bar Ami equal with Rav Chizda. Rav Yitzchak Bar Ami came to the house of Chizda because in Yisrael Bar Avzah there was a kachka. A goose to have a kometautel lelei mishimshel tulu. He's moving it from the sun to the shade, which means that it's not muktzah, because if it's muktzah, you're not allowed to move it if it's for the benefit of the item itself. So the chayda we see from here that raw thing is not muktzah. If Amar Chizda said chsorin kis kochazin hacher, Chizda said I see there's a monetary loss. So Chizda clearly allowed. Chizda clearly allowed them to move it. How come Chizda said before asur l'tautlin? So Gemara is making a distinction between, let's say, poultry and beef. Shiny bar avza de chazi l'umtza. Poultry, even though it's raw, people eat raw chicken. Beef, you don't generally eat raw unless you cook it. So therefore, poultry is not muktza, even though it's raw. Teresa says from here that ayah, now when is it, why do you have to salt meat only when the blood moves around, which is when you cook. But if you're going to eat it raw and the blood doesn't move around, because eating it raw, you don't have to salt the meat. If you plan to eat the meat raw, you don't have to salt the meat, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Tell me what we learned. Dog meliach, salted fish, mutl tatla. Salted fish, you're allowed to move around because it's edible. Dog tuffel, fish which is not salted, also not to move around, because not only is not fit for human consumption, remember we learned before that if it's fit for animal consumption, it's good enough. But this is not even fit for animal consumption. Or even if it is fit for animal, fish is too expensive. Like Rashi told us yesterday in Chumash, that if you have guests, the first thing you give them is you treat them, you know, to stuffed poultry. The second day you give them fish. The third day you only give them beef. So fish is considered a real delicacy. Hence, even though it's edible for animals, you're not going to give it to them. But when it comes to meat, bein tofel, bein melech, mutl tal, when it comes to meat, whether it's unsalted and whether it is salted, you're allowed to move it around. Because this follows up Shimon, who doesn't hold the laws of Muktzah. So what have we learned? Metalton is atzomus, you're allowed to move the bones around. Mipnesha meichel leklavim, you're allowed to move the bones around because it's food for dogs. And even according to Rabbi Yehuda, if there's no meat left on it from before Yom Tov ready, so therefore you knew chatchila it was food for dogs. It wasn't going to be food for a person. So there's no muktzah. Bosa tofuach, but meat that's going off, you're still allowed to move it around. Mipnesha meichel lechaya, it's food for animals. It's food for animals. Mayim megulin. Michael Tracy says over here that it's food for chaya, but we don't say it's food for a dog, because since it's even though it's a little bit off, you're not going to give it to your dog to eat, but you will give it to, you have a pet chaya, and all the Eden, we said before, are aristocrats, so they might have pet chaya, so since it's food for them, so a dog is considered a much lower class animal. You're allowed to move it because call yourself an emlachmeim. And Rav Chizu does not allow it, is because we said before, raw meat, is because it does not believe that all the Eden are b'nei melachim. Mayim megulim, if you have water, and we learned, remember in Avodah Zarah, that if you have water that's uncovered, and we had it before as well, and the snake might have drank, you know, taken from it at night, and I'll drink from it in the morning, because it's dangerous, might be venom floating around. Mipnei shehen ruin l'chassel, yet you're allowed to move it around because cats eat it. Cats are not scared of snakes. Remember we learned before that a cat actually eats a snake. We had a whole potion there, how to take care of snakes. Because the cats will eat it, and they're not worried about the venom either. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Eimer, kol atzman osn shayzim lezakana. The whole water you shouldn't even have in your house because it's a sakana. Because somebody might drink it without realizing that it could be a snake drank from it. So what are you talking about? Muktzeh, get rid of it. Mishnah.
Didn't we learn once that you're not supposed to own a dog?
A kelev ra, you're right. That's why even...
We just said on the page before that only if it's shriach, we're talking about ostriches and elephants, and only if it's shriach.
Yeah, but they used to...
Is it a dog shriach that someone should own a dog when you're not supposed to?
When they had hunting dogs, they used to have dogs to mind their sheep to make sure that they... you're talking about a pet in the house. But they used to have dogs...
About the average person.
Yeah, but it seems like a lot of average person then was in a farm. And they had the sheep and everything else. They used to have dogs to keep them in line. And we also, when we learned dogs, it says kelev ra, because it scares a person. Remember we had before, it scares a person, and therefore you're not allowed to. But if you have them for a reason, like a guard dog or what do you call it, for the animal, then it's all right. But clearly here that a dog is treated worse than a chaya. A chaya was like a pet. The dog wasn't really a pet. It was more...
A working animal.
Exactly. Mishnah. Koifin es hasal lifnei avroch. Remember, animal and muktzah. You're allowed to turn over a basket on Shabbos before the freichim to be able to go up to climb to where they have to go. Kdesh yalu the yerdu. And even though the Gemara already had this discussion, we had this discussion before. We have one opinion. You now be mavatal a keli mehechonei on Shabbos. You're not allowed to get keli and put it for something that's muktzah, to cover something that's muktzah, because it's as if you're building, because you're not allowed to move the keli again. And over here, because it, you know, the hen or the rooster goes on and they leave straight away, so therefore it's no problem of a vatal keli mechanei. Then the other thing we learned is that Yitzchak says, you're not allowed to take a keli el davra nitl. You're not allowed to move a keli only for something else that's permitted, that's not muksa. How can you let him move it here? So he answered, it's a tzarech mekaymen. Once you have to move the original keli from its original spot, you need a space, you can put it wherever you want. So you're allowed to put it in front of a tanagosh, go up on its own. Let's say somehow another escaped in your house, went outside. You're allowed to push it from behind until it enters back in your house. So you're pushing it from the back, which is not the normal way. Madodin, you're allowed to actually pull a golden calves of sayachin and small animals. You're allowed to pull them into by the neck or the side, and you bring them back in. Isha, a woman, madado is benoz, allowed to pull her son as well, hold her by the arm from the back and drag him along, as long as the kid is walking, as we'll soon see. I'm a Buddha, Amos, I went to be allowed with a mother, with a child, he's old enough that he can lift a foot and put down a foot, so he can walk. But you're just forcing the kid to walk. If you're dragging the kid on the floor, usher is forbidden, because you're carrying, and you're not allowed to carry, even though we learned before, chai noise is atzmoi, but not if the kid cannot walk on its own. Therefore, it's us. If an animal falls into a creek, maybe cutting the ksasa, you'll have to be the pillows and cushions. And Tachtov places underneath. Also, if it climbs up on its own. So you didn't lift it up, it climbed up on its own. Meso, that's a question. Behemish Nofel Mazamayim. We learned before already a few times. A behemoth that falls into a mass of mine. What you do is you give it food or whatever is enough to survive till after Yom Tov, so that they can bring it up. Panasa in Kodesh Hashem, you're only allowed to deal with it to the bottom, but not to bring it up. Like Kasha, Hod Efshe Panasa, if you have an option to give Panasa, fine. Hod Efshe Panasa, if you don't have it, then you can put those things there so the animals will climb out. Efshe Panasa in Vilai, if you have Panasa, fine. But Eloi, maybe Kodesh Hashem, you have to put down. When you put the pillow cushion there, once you put it there, you cannot move it away, because therefore now it becomes like binyan and soiser. When you put it down, it's like binyan permanently. When you take it away, it becomes like soiser, destroying, like this midrabanan. So he holds mevatl keli mechon is only midrabanan, but he holds like the opinion we had in Eilam Metzias and Machlekes, and he holds like the opinion that tzar balachayin deraisa, an animal suffering, is actually mehatayda. We live in the pasuk ozev tazev imoy, that you should help out if you see the animal there, donkey has too many things on it. Ozev deraisa rabbanan, mehatayda pushed away nisa rabbanan. Tanakoyla shabocha, it says here, doichin, you can push it in, medadin loy, but you're not allowed to drag it. Why not? You know, let's say, hold on its wings, and let's make sure the legs are touching the ground, and schlep it. Tanina lahad, this proves of what we learned. Tanabana madadi behemu chayva oy bechotzer, and yechotzer, you're allowed to pull these animals by their wings, of a loyas, of the sides, of a loyas, a tanagoylus. But not when it comes to a tanagoylus, to a hen. Why not? Tanagoylus, my time alone. I'm going to buy you, Mishum, the mekafia nafsha. What happens to tanagoylus, if you hold it by the wings, it lifts its feet from the ground and jumps up. So you're carrying it. And even though you're in a chotzer, but you're carrying mukta. And that's also forbidden. Mashang and all other birds, even though the birds, if you pull them by the wings, they'll just walk and go with you. But in the Shusar Abin, you're not allowed to do any of this, because even though, generally speaking, they keep the feet on the ground, but there's a chash that you might lift the feet on the ground, and then Shusar Abin is Mahatayda, also you'll carry 4 cubits. And therefore, we are Machmer, but we are Machmer. And even though Rabbi Nosson says that animals, Chayin Oishas, that's why we follow the Chachamim that only applies to humans, not to animals. Anyway, you're allowed to move them around, pull them in the chotzer of a lebish rabbi. And then it says, "V'yidish and a woman medadas bno b'shus rabim." A woman is allowed to, drag her son, or not drag, to hold onto his hand and schlep him in the shus rabim. The ain't tzaluch leime b'chotzer, surely in the chotzer. But Tani and Rabbi has learned ain't oikrin behem chayvay b'chotzer. Rabbi says you're not allowed to lift an animal in a chotzer. Why? Because it's mukta. I will do him, you're allowed to push them. It sounds like only allowed to push them. You're not allowed to. Medada is more than doichin. Doichin is pushing them from behind, which is totally not the normal way. Medada is on the side, you're pulling them by the arm or by the leg. And seems from here, one bride says that you're allowed to do medadin in your chatzah. The other one says you shouldn't. Only you can do doichin. Seems like medadin you're not allowed to do. Hogufakasha Amr, he said, ain't oikrin. And in the bride said, good for her problem. Forget about asking for one bride to another. Within this bride, it says here, that the only thing you shouldn't do in your chutzah is lift it, sounds like, but you're allowed to pull it by the side. Abba to do your medadinin. And then hadram, then you say, the only thing you're allowed to do is push it from the back. In medadin loy. Omer Abaye says, Abaye, safer us on the tanagoylus. We're not talking about Adam, we're talking about tanagoylus. Even the chutzah, you're allowed to pull it from the side, because. Okay, the tanya, so again, the tanya, we learned the other braise. Ain oikrin, sorry, hagufa kasha. So you're asking me a question from one braisa to another. One braisa seems to say that you're allowed to pull the animals and the birds and all that in your chutz. Another one says that you're not allowed to. You can only push it from the back. In the braisa itself, there seems to be a contradiction. I'm just not saying ain oikrin, that you're not allowed to lift it. Sounds like abo deduim medadina, but you're allowed to push it. Then hagram. Then you say doichin, that you're allowed to push it. Sounds like a medadin loy. The Abaye answers that this, the end of the braisa says you're not allowed to even pull. It's talking about a tanuga hen, because they will lift themselves up and it's muktza. Amar Rav Abaye, Haiman the shochet tanugoyim, because of this habit that tanugoyim have to lift their feet and so on. If you want to shecht a hen or a chicken, likvashinu likare ba'ara, make sure that the legs are dug into the ground so they'll stay there. Or inami neidum, you should lift them up. You don't want the legs coming close to the ground. Either they're buried, like dug into the ground, or they lift them up. Why? Because if the legs are touching the ground and you start shechting, the feet will move around. It's possible that the simonim, you know, the trachea or the esophagus will move around, and if it moves out of its place, it makes a treif. So therefore, because they're very jumpy. So you have to be very careful. The Mishnah continues, and this Mishnah will lead into the next perek, which is Rabbi Elazar the Miller. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to help an animal give birth. You're not allowed to give birth to an animal, to its baby. Ava Mesadin, you're allowed to support it. We'll soon see what supporting means. More explain. When it comes to a woman, you're allowed to help her give birth because it's a sakana. Bishabbos, on Shabbos. And V'koyin lo chachama, you call her one of these, what do you call it, doulas or midwives. Memakum, they can travel from far away. Tchum Shabbos doesn't matter. Umechalin oleha as a Shabbos. If she requires anything, you mechal Shabbos. The koishin as a tibum. When it comes to biblical cord, the navel, all you do is tie it down, so you shouldn't be exposed. However, Rabbi says no, that's too dangerous. Av choichin. Rabbi says you even cut the biblical cord completely, and then the Mishnah says the whole tzorchei mila oisim b'Shabbos. All the requirements for a mila you're allowed to do on Shabbos, and that's when the next pedig is discussing what exactly does that mean. Now the Gemara explains, Kate, you said by an animal mitzad, you're allowed to support. Rabbi Yehuda says, what does that mean? Oiches es a vlad, which says you hold on to the vlad, shelo yipol la'aretz. You hold on to the child so that it shouldn't, the baby calf falls out, let's say, you catch it, so it doesn't fall to the ground. And Nachman says, doichig b'basal, you can do a bit more than that. You can actually squeeze the sides of the animals, kideshiyetze vlad, to help the vlad come out. Tanya kavosed Rabbi Yehuda, we learned to support like Rabbi Yehuda. Kate and Mesadin, oichzin as a vlad shalipo bada, you hold on to the baby calf, it shouldn't fall to the ground. V'noifeach le'bechotma, you blow into its nostrils, v'noisin le'dod le'terpiv, and you actually give the udder into the mouth of the baby calf, kideshiyon, you can start nursing from its mother. Amar Rashbag says, Merachmin hayino abehemet heide b'yamtif. We used to have rachmanas on the kosher animals on yamtif. Hechi avid, what do you mean, what rachmanas did we have? So he explains. Merachmin means not that we have rachmanas, we want that the mother and the baby calf should have some kind of bonding. They don't actually have bonding. So therefore we do something to have the bond. How do we do that? Amar Abaye says, Abaye, first of all, maybe after the baby calf is born, let's say, maybe bul shamelach, we bring a piece of salt, a fistful of salt, and umaniach l'techedach, he put it on her, maybe the cervix there, and it's very painful. Kadesha tisker tzara, she remembers, oh, she just gave birth, and therefore she feels yearning, so where is that baby calf? V'terachim olav, and create a bond. Umezalfin meshilia agabi vlad, and then we pour some of the bryonic, the liquid from the sack, on the baby calf. Kadesha teriach rechay, so the mother will smell it. V'terachim olav, and therefore create a bond. V'davka toila, this is only necessary for kosher animal, because they don't have this natural bond. Interesting. Avot tmei loy, when it comes to non-kosher animals, we don't need to do that. Why? My timer. Tmei lemechik avlada. When it comes to non-kosher animals, there is a natural bond between the parent and the baby, and therefore you don't have to do anything extra. The imechik, if it happens to be that they did distance lemekarva, this is not going to help. So interesting. And after kosher animals, they don't have this natural bond between parent and offspring, and we have to do something to make it happen. Miyaldin is Isha, Mechdi Tunnel Miyaldin says in the Mishnah three things. Miyaldin is Isha, you're allowed to help give birth. Then it says the Koinach Acham Mokal Mokim, you're allowed to call a midwife from place to place. And third thing is the Mechalas of Shabbos. If you already said Miyaldin is Isha, obviously it means you're allowed to do things which are Chil Shabbos. So what are you adding by saying at the end, Umechalin Alas of Shabbos? Lasu Yimai, what are you adding? Says Gemara, Lasu Yehotar Abon, to add the following. We learned, Im Hoysat Sicha Lener, let's say she needs a light, is Chavata Madlekas Lener, her friend can go ahead and light it. Im Hoysat Sicha Lashemen, she needs oil, Chavata Mevi'a Lashemen, her friend can bring her oil to Yad by hand. Im Einai Sipik, if the little bit of oil in the hand is not enough, because we told her, don't bring a keli, just bring it by hand. No, bring it, try to make a shinui, so that you're doing less, mitigate the issur you're doing on Shabbos. V'imein asipik b'yad mevi'a b'saidi, bring it in the hair. Again, it's a shinui, it's not the normal way. And v'imein asipik b'saidi, the amount of oil you put in your hair is not sufficient to what you need, then mevi'a b'kli, then you can be mechal Shabbos. This is really a whole discussion when it comes to pekuach nefesh. Let's say what somebody seconds the first is allowed to help them on Shabbos. Is it hutra d'chuya? Is it chuya Shabbos is pushed away and therefore you have to try to minimize the iser? Or is it hutra that means that there's no iser Shabbos? From this Gemara, it seems clearly that it's d'chuya. We try to mitigate. The Magen Mishnah on the Rambam already, because the Rambam himself sees it a little bit not so clear, has a whole explanation of the Gemara here why only in this case we try to mitigate, but other places where it's mamash sekana, you're allowed to do whatever it takes and you don't have to even be concerned about mitigating. Amma we learned. Im hoisat sichel neir, she needs a candle, chavata madlek, and your friend can light her a candle. Pshita, obviously, we just said, sekonos nefashis. And pekuch nefesh delcha Shabbos. Loi tzich v'nida besuma, she's blind. The woman who gave birth is blind. So ma'avat, I would have thought, kivin lechazdia, since she cannot see anyway, also, what benefit is there? Just in her mind. Kamashlon, yisuvim miyas v'dayta, that no. That we need to calm her down, even though it's only psychological, that's also part of pekuach nefesh. Because Slavra, this woman thinks, this woman feels much more placated if the light is on, because even though she can't see, her friend can see, and if she needs anything, they'll be there to help her out. Why don't we say just chita? Isn't it forbidden to put oil between your hair because you have to squeeze it out? So what did you gain? There is no hair doesn't absorb, the oil is stuck between the hairs, and therefore it's not really schitte. Even when I argue that there is schitte by hair, Yitaka put it in the keli, but you carry it by tying it to your head, and you're carrying the keli on top of your hair, which is totally the abnormal way. As much as possible, we can minimize the chil Shabbos, we do. Chaya, a woman who gave birth, Kozman, Shahakeva Pesuach, a woman who gave birth, as long as the womb is open, Bein Omra Tzichani, whether she says, I need this to help me, Bein Loi Omra Tzichani, whether she didn't say anything, Mechalin Olez HaShabbos, you Mechal HaShabbos, because your life is in danger. But, Nistim HaKeva, but once, let's say, for example, that the womb is closed up, then bein omlet sichani, even if she says, I need it. Bein loy omlet sichani, even if she doesn't say, ein mechal in Rosh Shabbos. We're not mechal Shabbos. So Shmuel is very machmir, he only allows the chil Shabbos is as long as the womb is open. Once the womb is closed after she gave birth, even if she says, I need it, we do not, we're not mechal Shabbos. Rav Ashi mas nehochi. Rav Ashi says the following. Mazut has a different version of what Shmuel said. Woman gave birth. Kozman shakev, as long as the womb is open. Bein omra tzichani, whether she says, I need it. Bein omra ein tzichani, when she says, I don't need it. But her friends say, yes, she needs it. Mechal lesa Shabbos. So even if she says, not that she doesn't say anything, she says, I don't want it. You're still mechal Shabbos. Because in the first version of Shmuel, if she doesn't say anything, then we still do things for her. But it sounds like in the first version of Shmuel, if she says, I don't want it, we don't do it. Says the second version, Mazuda says, no. In those days, even if she says, I don't require it. But for friends, forget about doctors. Her friends say, yes, she needs it, we'll do it. Nista Makeba, once it's closed up, which the first version of Shmuel says, you can't do anything for her. Omra, Mazuda says, if she says, Tzrichani, I need it, Mechal Nelez HaShabbos. Lo Yom, if she doesn't say anything, then ain't Mechal Nelez HaShabbos, not Mechal HaShabbos. So Omele Ravina Lemenema, Mazutra Masl Kula, Mazutra is very mekel. While the womb is open, even if she says, I don't want it, if her friend says she needs it, from Mechal Shabbos. While the womb is closed, according to Mazutra, if she says, I want it, we will be Mechal Shabbos. Not like Ravashi. Ravashi Masil Chumra, Hilchas the command, who should we follow? Omele, he said to him, Ki Mazutra, we follow Mazutra, because the rule is, Safik Nefashis Lahakal. We're always make, whenever there's a question of life and death, we always follow the lenient opinion. So we follow Mazutra. What's considered the womb open? When is considered the womb is open? When she sits down on a special seat, a special stool, to give birth. That's when it is. It's a later stage when she actually starts bleeding, passing blood, then we know that she's about to give birth. But Amnil, another saying, Mishar, from the moment she chavarisel, noises oisa ba'akfer. While the friends have to carry her from the side because she can no longer walk on her own. That means she's about to give birth, she's in labor pain. Okay, and the next part we'll talk tomorrow and so on. Okay, so that's for today.